From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made just outside San Francisco last week at the popular Botto Bistro. Botto Bistro had a strong Yelp rating, an average 4.6 out of 5 stars. So customers might have been surprised to see that Botto began asking customers to post negative reviews on Yelp. In fact, Botto offered 25% off pizza in return for a 1-star Yelp review. The reason? Well, the owner, Davide Cerentini, said that Yelp had harassed him into paying for advertising on the social review site. Cerentini felt that Yelp was sending him a message: advertise with us or we'll feature the bad reviews first. He called it a form of extortion. Finally, he decided that he wanted to discredit Yelp, so he launched the Hate Us on Yelp campaign. Here's an example of one of the 1-star reviews now posted on Yelp about Botto. Quote, I came in on a bad day and I was in a bad mood. The service was so good that I couldn't help but smile, and I had no interest in smiling. The food was not at all what I expected. I expected something average, not excellent. 1 star for them. I am not a fan of surprises. Well, Yelp apparently contacted Botto this weekend, asking them to stop trying to skew the ratings, and Botto wrote back, mocking Yelp. All of this posing our question this hour. Can you trust online review communities like Yelp? Whom should we trust for reviews? And is this all part of the democratization of reviews, as our good friend Tom Proietti likes to say? Well, our panel for the hour is going to help us. Karen Miltner is here, a food writer for the Democrat and Chronicle. Karen, nice to see you.
Nice to see you too, Evan.
Amanda Antenor is a Democrat and Chronicle restaurant critic, among other things. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Evan, for having me.
Kristen Flores-Fratto is the owner of The Gatehouse and Espada in Rochester. Kristen, get a little closer to the mic and say hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
That's plenty close enough. We also have comments from a number of restaurant owners who have wanted to share their thoughts on review sites and whom to trust, and we're going to be reading those as we go throughout the hour. We're going to hear from a food writer for City Newspaper in the next half hour, have a comment from Yelp National to read for you, and we'd like to hear from you if you want to join the conversation about whom you trust for these kind of reviews. And if you're part of the online review community, it's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. Karen Miltner, I'm going to start with you. Have you ever written a Yelp review?
No.
You write real. I say real. Not that Yelp isn't real. I should probably be careful. But, I mean, Karen is one of the really, in my view, great food writers we have. And so I'm curious to know your thoughts on Yelp.
I actually haven't paid a lot of attention to Yelp until the past couple of years. I find it helpful in terms of being a pretty good directory. I look to Yelp to find out new restaurants that have opened. And certainly when I'm traveling, I will check out Yelp because I'm on I-81. Where can we stop? It's 10 o'clock at night kind of thing. And I think we were just talking, the three of us, before we came in, that we think Yelp only started in Rochester a few years ago, so it doesn't really have a long history here.
Yeah, I wasn't aware there is a Rochester Yelpers, and there are kind of chapters and communities across the country that Yelp has helped put together, and there are chapter leaders. But before I even get to our other panelists, you just mentioned that if you're driving on I-81, you'll use Yelp. How do you feel like you've got a gauge to trust whether a review is solid?
I'm not necessarily looking at the reviews. I'm looking for the phone number and the hours.
Okay, so right. you're not using it for those reviews.
No.
All right. Amanda Antenor is a reviews restaurants, and
yes.
You ever check out Yelp?
I do. I like to see what the general consensus is for places. Sometimes before I go, sometimes after, just to see if I'm on the same page as the majority, I guess. But that sort of brings in another question, is how accountable are these people to submitting their reviews? And I don't really think I can trust them as much as I would trust my own opinion.
Yeah, your own opinion. Or I've always thought if there are critics of whether it's music or wine or food or whatever, at least with one reviewer, you get into a rhythm of what their expectations are. You may not agree with all of their sort of ratings, but at least if you know what they like, even if it's not what you like, you can sort of gauge it consistently over time. And maybe with Yelp you can do that. We're going to be finding out what others think. But let's ask Kristen now, because you're in the restaurant business. So
yes.
You're first, in general, your take on review sites like Yelp.
My take is that they are necessary. They are here to stay. They're not going anywhere. People want to express their opinions, and they found a place to do it, and they're going to be with us now forever. That being said,
that sounds really fatalistic, but go ahead.
Well, I just think as a restaurant owner, we have to accept that's out there. And what I tell my employees is, we have staff meetings about this, every customer at your table, you have to look at like they are a potential Yelper or someone who's going to go instantly, if not leave right away and go to a computer, from their seat on their phone, review you right there. And so we've had to adjust. The whole restaurant industry, I think, has had to adjust to the people reviewing.
In that sense, could review sites like Yelp and Urban Spoon and TripAdvisor, could they improve service because there's always that fear that someone is going to get called out for mediocre service?
I think they can improve. Yeah, absolutely. I think we've had to step it up a little bit. So, absolutely. There is some great value to their presence, for sure.
What is the most offensive thing or inane? Or I mean, do you read the reviews?
I don't read them anymore.
Anymore.
There was a time in our early years at the Gatehouse when my husband and I read them daily because we wanted to know what people were saying. And that was good for us then. We corrected a lot of things that we needed to know. You know, one thing that has to be said is that people have to be careful what they write about the service or their food, because people do lose their jobs from reviews. You know, if somebody writes, my server was horribly rude to me, and there's a good enough description and we know who it was, it will be addressed, and people have lost their jobs over reviews. So in the past, yes, I have done a lot of reading of them and responding to them. And then we came across one incident where I stopped going to Yelp and to all of them.
Are you able to describe that incident?
I will describe that incident, yes. We had a baby shower event in our party room, which is right next to the Gatehouse. And we had about half of the people in that event get sick, very violently ill, the next day. And they instantly went on our Facebook page. They called the restaurant. They contacted us many different ways to let us know that they were all sick from food poisoning. And
what they thought was food poisoning.
Yep, that was their first assumption. They were pretty sure that it was food poisoning. We had given them a couple different options. It could be a virus. It probably is a virus. This is the winter time. They also brought a cake in from another location, which we are always nervous about. There were some other options, but they didn't want to hear it. They thought that it was food poisoning, and they went with that theory until the results came back from the health department. Somebody had provided a stool sample, and it showed that it was the norovirus that they had probably brought into our restaurant and passed around, and gotten very sick from that. So once they were told by the health department that it was a virus and it wasn't food related, they didn't remove any of the things that they had written on Yelp themselves.
Even after a test?
No, not after the test. We sent them a lawyer from our attorney asking them to remove their statements, and they did do it after that, but not on their own.
Because you're trying to strong-arm them, but people are going to read that stuff, right?
It's a very serious accusation when it comes to food poisoning, and that's different than I didn't have good service or I didn't like my pizza. That's a very serious thing, and that could bring a restaurant down. And at one point, we realized that we had to address it because it was out there in so many different places. And if we didn't, we were really going to get a reputation for having a food poisoning problem.
Well, and we're talking to Kristen Flores-Fredo, the owner of the Gatehouse and Espada in Rochester. And look, you know, you say that that is sort of the moment that kind of crystallized how sometimes askew or vehement people can be, even if they're wrong. And you're almost tempted to stop reading it just because you don't want to get depressed every day if people are super negative. But are you concerned that you may miss some of these allegations?
Well, I personally don't read them.
Okay.
I do have managers who do and address things that need to be addressed and respond when they need to. Yeah, but for me, it's emotional for us as the restaurant owners.
Yeah.
You know, I get physically sick over some of these things. This period with the norovirus, I don't think I was eating or sleeping for a week. Mm-hmm. It's better for me to just not look.
But I assume that most reviews are probably middle of the road or I say middle of the road, not extreme or really rude, etc. Most reviewers probably want to write a useful, helpful review.
Correct.
And most reviews I've read plenty of Gatehouse reviews that are plenty positive.
Yeah, we have a lot. That's true.
Okay, so you're seeing some of the, and I think Kristen's being very honest about the emotion, you know. It'd be easy to say, that doesn't bother me, but it can bother you.
It will bother, yes, anybody whose restaurant is being talked about that way.
Yeah, well, along the lines of the service, by the way, I pulled a couple of my favorite reviews. If you Google dumbest Yelp reviews, it's really easy to find stuff, unfortunately. And again, that's not to demean Yelp, and if Yelp is listening, don't send an attorney my way. We're gonna get your take in on here as well. But here's one. Marina in Menifee, California, wrote about going out to a late night club and said service was a mixed bag. My waitress and busboy were both friendly and attentive, while other staff at other parts of the restaurant dragged themselves around the place looking as though they were at a funeral. So let's get this straight: you go to a place and you have great service. But in the limited interaction you have with other servers who are serving other people, you assess them to be not cheery enough, and you give a one-star review based on this. Isn't that a little horrifying?
Isn't that something else?
It's completely objective. You aren't looking at your own situation. You can't just make assumptions about other people's situations, and then you put it out there in a negative way. Of course, it's going to impact a restaurant, and you have to look at all the parts of the picture. Equally.
Well, and Marina, by the way, in the same review said that this is the first and only sushi restaurant I've been to that does not employ Asian sushi chefs. That detracted from the overall experience as well. Mm. And look, I like authentic food from people who grew up with certain cuisines, but there's a tinge of racism that says certain people can't make certain kinds of foods, right? One star.
Yeah.
So this is now Yelp, if they were on the line with us again, and they were invited and they're unavailable, they did send a statement over, they would say, look, you're picking out some of the really bad apples, and they have millions. In fact, they sent me a chart, 138 million monthly visitors, 61 million reviews on Yelp, 68 million, the approximate number of average monthly unique visitors who used Yelp via a mobile device. You know, this is a powerhouse.
Yeah.
So they're going to say you're cherry picking the really bad stuff. Karen, am I being unfair?
I don't think so. I mean, sometimes I think people read Yelp for entertainment. And, you know, before I came over, two of my colleagues said, oh, you've got to go online and read the Golden Corral reviews the chain restaurant. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I think all of these sites are double-edged swords. And there are benefits to them, and then there are negative things to them. To Amanda's point, I think people need to understand that anybody writing about a restaurant, you know, a restaurant, you never walk into the same stream twice. You never have the same restaurant experience twice. So it's always just kind of a slice of life, moment in time type of thing, which is one reason why, you know, the Democrat and Chronicle, we don't keep reviews on all that long on our website, because really after a year, staff changes very quickly.
Yeah.
They're useless. It's no longer the same restaurant.
Yeah.
I think that's a very fair point. And by the way, for the entertainment value, I'll read another one for you if you want to be entertained. Here's a one-star review of a customer who couldn't even get into a restaurant. But keep in mind, that one-star review sticks and gets part of the rating. Mazin in Chicago wrote about a restaurant. This place sucks. At 10 p.m. on a Friday, they weren't letting people in because, as their staff put it, we don't want to crowd people in. It could be a fire hazard. We want you to come back some other time, be relaxed, have space to enjoy yourself. Well, good luck with that, friend. One star. Couldn't get in. And that review sticks.
Was that Maze, M-A-Z-E, Gordon Ramsay's restaurant? Which is in New York. I'm just wondering if it's
No,
the
it wasn't. No. The name of the reviewer, M-A-Z-E-N, Mazin M in Chicago was the place. But that's another important point that Kristen brings up. Are you uncomfortable with the fact that there's a lot of anonymity online, that people don't have to always give you their name? You may not actually know who's posting reviews. I am not a fan of internet comments, et cetera, that allow such a wall of anonymity. I think that leads to vitriol. Anybody agree or disagree?
I absolutely agree with you. There's a lot to be said when there's a byline attached to it.
And you're more accountable.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my mom is a subscriber, so I've got to be careful, you know, what I say as well. My mom is reading. And
But your name, we know.
Yes.
Karen Milner. You know, we know Amanda. These are it's different when I think if you don't have a name and a face attached to it, you don't necessarily talk about things as the way you would in person or if you were face to face. And that's that kind of drop of decorum bothers me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, too, one of the elements that's missing from Yelp as a reviewing platform is that there's no way to actually verify if the person was at the restaurant. You know, unlike a shopping site like Amazon, for instance, where after you purchase an item, you're given an option to review it. Well, Amazon knows that you have that. So it knows that you're actually reviewing something that you own versus going on to Yelp. I mean, I tested the theory today and I went to a restaurant's Yelp page and I had never been there before. And I could just start typing whatever I felt like typing. Mm-hmm. And I think that users, when they're going onto the site and reading these reviews from people that they don't know, definitely should keep that in mind, because like what Karen said, our name is on the byline of a major publication. So, you know, that publication is the one that's held accountable. Whereas these Yelpers, I mean, who's really monitoring that?
And another thing that if you haven't read Amanda's restaurant reviews in the Democrat and Chronicle, there's also a note attached that says this is based on one visit.
Right.
You're upfront about the fact that you're writing about one time and one experience. And as Karen says, you know, there can be a bit of a mixed bag, but you're owning that. You're saying that's the way it is. And maybe for that reason, take it with however you would. Right. That's important.
Absolutely. I mean, I try to take, you know, every piece of the puzzle into a factor of how I'm, you know, displaying the restaurant. And you know, you have to look at all sides, and you don't want to put a restaurant out of business. That's the last thing that you want to do. And words can hurt. Words can really hurt.
Let me read a comment. This comes from Chuck Sarankowski, the owner of Good Luck Restaurant, and he wanted to send a note. Couldn't be here in person, but he says his comment is this. This is from Chuck, quote, "At a base level, Yelp is a great concept. The idea of providing a populist vehicle for consumer opinions provides a constructive and informative resource for both customer and operator, a well-intended and innovative way to allow customers feedback, to guide interested peers, as well as to provide business owners with feedback. However, Yelp's low barrier to participation, namely the anonymity it allows users and online readers' predilection for sensationalism, both positive and negative, has turned into something of a spillway of ridiculous commentary. There are a healthy amount of fair, even-keeled, and constructive reviews. However, similar to the reader's comments you would find in response to, say, a Times Online article, many of the reviews are crass, crude, or misinformed. And in addition, some are creepily flattering and also misinformed. Uh-huh. I would guess a writer, as well as most restaurant operators, myself included, develop a thick skin against this sort of fray. However, in the case of small business, with its dedicated staff and mission to provide livelihood for its employees and operators, some of the more vitriolic reviews hit far too below the belt to be appropriate. Unfortunately, this misuse by the reviewers makes the whole thing a sort of noise that at this point we mostly try to ignore." Uh-huh. That's Chuck from Good Luck.
Well said.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree with everything that he said.
Yeah,
Kristen, ring true with you?
Absolutely. As I was saying, I ignore as much as I can. I'm sure that he at Good Luck has some of the same problems, that we get reviews sometimes that are so completely inaccurate. As far as Espada had one recently that gave a list of meats that they didn't like that aren't even on our menu. And you have to wonder, how is that happening? Did they not come at all and are still able to write a review? Or did they come and they just completely forgot about their experience? There's so many issues with some of the reviews that it's hard to take it seriously. It really is hard to look at it like, you know, these people are representing an opinion of our restaurant, and I just don't feel like that it's really accurate at all.
But there's going to be some who say, and before we get to the phones, we're going to get to your phone calls in just a moment. There will be some who say, look, this is the democratization of reviews. And no, not everyone is Karen Miltner or Amanda Antonor or somebody else who has a little bit or a lot bit more training and expertise with this. But you've got to listen to your customers, and these are your customers, and they're giving you feedback. And some are going to say, Kristen, you're missing a chance.
Yeah, well, that's why my managers watch for those things. And they, you know, let me know if there's something that really needs to be addressed. Obviously, the reviews need to be sorted through. There are ridiculous ones, there are mean ones, and there are true ones that have to be addressed. You know, every business owner is going to decide how they want to handle that. There's also, I just want to add something, the issue of disgruntled employees writing bad reviews and bringing ratings down is a real issue. They do that now. That's something that if you're unhappy with your ex-boss, that they can go and, you know, say something nasty under a different name or have a friend do it. There's so many ways. And, you know, that's hurtful to us, too, when they're purposely trying to take you down.
Especially when those of us reading those reviews wouldn't know that. But again, I think we have agreed, anonymity is not helping. There you go. Let's get to the phones. This is Chris in Pittsford. Chris, thanks for calling Connections.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just have a brief comment. I found it fascinating when the guests were talking about Yelp, and which is true with many, many websites. People don't have to leave real names. They can leave Chris G, for instance, or Sarah, whatever. I just finished up a 7-year run with a political blog, and the only people that could comment on our site were people that had real first and last names and working phone numbers, and we called every single person. We ended up with about 650 members over 7 years. Now, that's laborious, but to me, the big problem with the Internet and Yelp and all these other sites is that, as the guests were saying, people that didn't even eat at the restaurant, people that were naming food items that weren't even on the menu, are destroying, are really hurting the reputation. And to me, unless it's a corporate whistleblower or governmental whistleblower that needs to be anonymous and transmit information via the Internet, I think these sites need to clean up their act and not allow anybody on unless they're a real human being. And whenever I comment on CBS.com or the websites I go to, it's my first and last name, and I'm not embarrassed about that. So I just wanted to say I'm sensitive to what the guests are saying, and I think it's a crime that so many warped, strange, disgruntled people can take out their frustrations and hurt legitimate businesses. And with that, I'll listen to your comments off the line. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, that was really well said. I agree with Chris there.
Well, and recently, just a few years ago, the Democrat and Chronicle, in fact, started implementing only being able to post comments through your Facebook page. And the number of negative comments drastically decreased because the trolling was just outrageous. And I'm sensitive to it even as I'm writing a review to see what people are going to leave as a comment. But there is zero anonymity there because you're actually seeing the person's Facebook profile. And we know that Facebook is all about verifying identities. So I think there are certain platforms that are doing a much better job than, for instance, Yelp is in terms of regulating who is saying what. But I agree. I think that is probably the biggest problem here is how do you take what they're saying for the truth?
I believe Yelp has a consumer alert that they will flag postings they believe are created by people who are not who they say they are or who may be paid to write a certain review. And in fact, they've been criticized for the length of time that they will keep those consumer alerts posted. But I don't know a lot more than that.
Here's Jenna Miles sending us a comment. She and her husband Josh own the Revelry in Rochester and Bronco, which is new, I think, in Bushnell's Basin. And Jenna writes, we appreciate the time guests of ours take to review our restaurants on sites like OpenTable and Yelp, and we often utilize the thoughtful reviews as learning tools. While we work hard to ensure all our guests leave happy, we understand that what we offer isn't for everyone. In a perfect world, reviewers on the sites mentioned above would provide constructive criticism and offer negative feedback in a fair manner. With that being said, we as business owners don't expect that, nor do we begrudge reviewers for their viewpoints, whether we think they are written in the spirit of fairness or not. We view this dynamic as part of the business that we are in. Beyond that, we see these sites as a manifestation of the basic human need to be acknowledged and the strong desire we all have for our opinions to mean something and matter.
Yes,
you're
good,
nodding
good
over there.
Comment, Jenna. Good comment.
That's Jenna Miles from the Revelry and Bronca in Rochester and Bushnell's Basin. So you're getting sort of a flavor of the various views of Yelp out there. But Yelp is what we're focusing on because of some recent news items, but we're also looking at, just in general, online reviews and whom to trust. In our second half hour, we're going to be talking about this question of sort of pay-to-play and what's come out of those stories. Again, we did invite Yelp to join this broadcast this hour. They were not able to do so, but they have a very active local community now. And so what we're going to do is we're going to hear from somebody who's written more than 200 Yelp reviews and is now writing food reviews for City Newspaper, Chris Lindstrom. We're going to take a short break just as soon as my very busy engineer, poor Mike Black, is there trying to do 8 things at once. Let's take that break. We're going to get Chris on the line next and hear from someone who thinks Yelp provides a great service. So let's take a short break. Come right back on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on the next Connections, the political junkies join us first hour. Neil Conan and Ken Rudin join me live to preview their traveling roadshow, which comes to Rochester later this month. Then we'll talk to Marla Washington, a local religious leader who will talk about the ways our community can move forward following the killing of a Rochester officer. That's Tuesday on Connections.
When disasters like earthquakes or hurricanes strike, Americans open their wallets. The Ebola crisis is different.
You cannot expect donors to give you funding for a crisis you don't respond to. You need to do something meaningful on the ground and then ask them for their support.
Ebola and charitable giving, later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 o'clock, right here on your public radio station.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, talking about the democratization of reviews, looking at Yelp, among others. And Chris Lindstrom knows all about that. He's a food writer for City Newspaper. He's the creator of the foodabouttown.com website, and he's a guy who's written more than 200 Yelp reviews. He's on the line with us now. Chris, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
More than 200 reviews, and I know you stopped writing for Yelp essentially because you've got all these other things going on now, but there have been a lot of critical comments about Yelp. Tell us why you took the time and the value you get out of Yelp.
So for me, it was kind of turned out to be a springboard to something different. What it was for me originally was the opportunity to highlight some businesses that treated me amazingly well. I was on a business trip to scenic Fort Wayne, Indiana, for a couple of months, and you know, you end up pretty miserable on business trips. And there were places just treated me great, and having that platform in Yelp to get this out to people immediately was a great thing for me to highlight places that weren't getting a lot of business.
Is anonymity a problem?
I think so. You know, I put, you know, my first name and last initial, because that's all they offer, is on there. And now in my new platforms, my full name's there. And I go out and I talk to the restaurant people directly.
Why in the world would they not offer the chance to put your full name on there?
You know, I think some people try to hide behind it. You know, and I heard some of the comments before from Chuck and some of the other people. And, I mean, I think that's one of the biggest issues with Yelp, is that the people that don't take the time to make it a real thing, they can cause irrational harm. And I think something that Yelp does do reasonably well is, if you haven't written a lot of reviews, if you've written two reviews, well, your reviews get filtered out. So positive or negative, if you've written one or two reviews, they get filtered out. While if I decide to go back and post tomorrow, my reviews don't get filtered out because I've written 200 reviews.
But I'm not positive that's a great thing. I mean, doesn't that, if you're sitting there at home going, well, I've gone out twice this month, but I'm not going out to 25, 30 restaurants in a month or even a year maybe, but I'd love for people to actually see my review of a couple, does that encourage you to crank out some pablum about places you might have never been just to get your reviews noticed?
It sure can. I mean, there's, you know, there's always a positive and negative with incentives. You can make an incentive for anything, and people are going to find a way around it. Well, so whether or not, I think it's best intentions. I think it's the people who are writing more tend to be more engaged with it, and they tend to write better reviews, in my opinion. I know plenty of people that have written 100 reviews that are still no good.
Yeah, well, sure. And Chris, you know, I don't want to take too much of your time, but let me at least ask about this here. First of all, if a site like Yelp, whether it's Yelp, TripAdvisor, et cetera, if they allow you the option, at least the option, to put your full name in there, and someone chooses not to or creates some strange, not human name or whatever you want to do, I'm going to instantly tune you out. I want people who are going to stand behind what they write. Yelp not allowing you to put your full first and last name is a big problem for me. I think that should change. But let me ask you how you decide what you trust on there, because we're going to focus on in our second half hour on whom to trust. And I, for years, have trusted the Karen Miltners of the world. How do you decide if you're on Yelp, who do you trust on there?
You know, truthfully, I spent a lot of time on Yelp, both writing and reading. For a period of probably 2 years, I read every single Yelp review that came out of Rochester, from the people who were trustworthy or not. And you kind of get a feel for the people who are taking the time to really make this a thing, really make it a community-sourced review site. And the people that take the time to write a well-thought-out review with details, and obviously they went there, you can tell by the way people write, but, I mean, I know not everybody takes that time to read every review that comes out of the city.
Chris, you're working now for a city newspaper, among other things. How often are you writing for city?
Once a month right now, and then I'm also doing reviews and event recaps and podcasts on my website, foodabouttown.com.
And last question for you. I assume you think the Yelps of the world, whether it's Yelp, Urban Spoon, others, they're here to stay, aren't they? The democratization of reviews, I think, are probably here to stay.
Well, I think generally crowdsourcing is here to stay. I don't think we're going to stop it. I think the comments are useful. I think the other viewpoints are useful. And, you know, I don't spend as much time on there as I used to. But if I'm traveling, that's the first place I go. But I do take the time to read through the reviews and not just look at the 3 stars and say, hey, what's actually good here? What are people actually writing about?
Yeah, absolutely. Chris, thanks for taking the time. And congrats on the work that you're doing now outside of Yelp. Like you said, I know it was a stepping stone for you, and we appreciate you taking the time to pitch into the conversation this afternoon.
Sure, not a problem.
That's Chris Lindstrom, who is a food writer for City Newspaper, and also you can find his stuff at foodabouttown.com. Let's get back to the phones. This is Hoover. Hoover in, where is Hoover? In Pittsford? Hoover's, I don't know where you are, Hoover. Where are you? You are in Pittsford.
I'm in Pittsford, yep. This is a good topic, Evelyn. Like you, I do trust Karen Miltner. I've been reading her reviews in the DNC for a long time, and she takes her time in ferreting out the issues that a restaurant tries to explain when there's something going wrong. But she's very fair, and it's helpful. But the idea of the, as you say, the democratization of the review process with this Yelp, my experience, when I go to a restaurant, I want to have a decent sommelier. I want to have a menu that's diversified, common, and I want prices to be reasonable. Not cheap, but reasonable. So when I've read some of the reviews on Yelp, a lot of times the people who are doing the review, they're in a totally different economic and demographic range than I am. And I don't know necessarily what that is, but when I read what they write, some of it's vindictive, and they talk about, you know, Joe's Hamburger Shack or something. It's just, I'm not going to use that, and I pay no attention to it. I try and make my dining experience something that's special and unique to that place. So, you know, I rely on people like Karen and others. One thing, I know Karen because I know her favorite gin is Seneca Drum Gin.
Karen, are you guilty as charged?
Yes. Hoover, thank I you. Wanted. Can I address something that Hoover said? I think that I think you're perfectly accurate in saying that it's unfair. You really have to start when you write a review to judge it based on what the restaurant has set out to do, rather than your own agenda. And that's where you start. So it's really unfair for a vegetarian to slam a steakhouse just because it's a steakhouse.
And Karen, when I was looking up Yelp reviews, I saw countless one-star reviews saying, hey, there's no vegan option here. Hmm. 1 star. And you're saying that's unfair.
That's unfair. Now, I will say, as somebody who does go out, I am happy to see that there are steakhouses that are putting vegan dishes on their menu. I think that's simply smart for them.
Good
that
business,
they can bring more people to the table. But I think that's the first place that an informed Yelp server or writer should start. I also wanted to mention a book that I learned about a year ago. Actually, a professional restaurant critic named Hannah Raskin wrote a book called Yelp Help for people who want to write Yelp reviews. And I have not read the book yet, but it looks very useful and has a lot of great tips.
Hoover, thanks for the call. I think if you're just joining the conversation, you're seeing we're trying to be open-minded about the democratization of reviews. With our panel for the hour, Karen Miltner, a food writer for the Democrat and Chronicle, Amanda Antinor, a Democrat and Chronicle restaurant critic, Kristen Flores-Fredo is the owner of The Gatehouse and Espada in Rochester. And if you haven't been to The Gatehouse or Espada, where are you going to find it, Kristen?
In the Village Gate.
In the Village Gate there, hence Gatehouse. Sharing her perspective on online reviews and the online review communities, and we've been hearing from some other restaurant owners as well. I want to turn the discussion to where we briefly began it, and that was the question of whether Yelp is going out of bounds in what some restaurant owners have described as they feel it is unfair or extortionist, or they're saying that Yelp is saying, advertise with us and we'll prioritize your good reviews. Don't, and we'll prioritize the bad reviews. Now, Yelp has denied this. Kristen, have you ever heard anything like that in the restaurant community?
I have heard rumors of that happening. I personally don't know anybody that has had that experience with Yelp. They have had this extortion experience. I do know that Yelp advertising department calls me probably twice a week to try to get me to advertise.
Get out of here.
They call quite a bit. I always have voicemails from them.
Wow.
And I haven't actually spoken to anyone from Yelp advertising because I have no desire to advertise with them. So I can't speak much to this because I don't know if this is true, that this is what they do, that they move bad reviews up and down depending on if you're advertising. Do you know if they do that?
Well, they have said that they don't, but this has gone to court, and there was a recent decision about this. And here's the interesting thing. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco ruled last week it doesn't matter anyway. Here's what the judge said. The judge said the plaintiffs did not prove that Yelp broke any laws, and even if Yelp does manipulate reviews, it would not constitute extortion. Quote from Judge Marcia Berzon in a three-judge panel in the ruling from earlier this month. The quote from the judge: as Yelp has the right to charge for legitimate advertising services, the alleged threat of economic harm that Yelp leveraged is, at most, just hard bargaining. So the judge has ruled, Kristen, that even if their advertising department calls you and says, hey, Gatehouse, Espada, time to advertise, and if you do, your positive reviews will be prioritized, the judge is saying they're allowed to do that.
Wow, that's something else. I mean, I can't argue with the judge. If that's what the law says, then that's what it is. But I'm not going to fall for that. I'm not going to be forced to advertise.
Well, here's Yelp CEO Jeremy Stoppelman telling USA Today last month that Yelp does not change business ratings to get more advertising, does not manipulate reviews. Quote, you can have all the conspiracy theories you want, but all our disclosures are right there on our site. There is no amount of money that would cause us to manipulate reviews. That's his comment. But you have many restaurant owners like Bodo Bistro in San Francisco saying that when the advertisers call them, you haven't taken the calls. He says when the advertisers call from Yelp or the Yelp calls and says advertise with us, they're given the wink, wink, don't you want the good reviews pushed? And that's the uncomfortable level of sort of pay to play that people have felt with Yelp. I have a note from Eric Levine. Eric Levine is the founder of Cellar Tracker, which is one of the most popular online wine communities. And that features reviews of wines. It has become a huge hit. And this morning, Eric emailed me this comment about Yelp. Quote, I am terribly disturbed by these allegations against Yelp. A consumer reviewing platform is based on trust and really needs to be of, by, and for the consumer. If business owners are able to pay for the privilege of emphasizing or especially suppressing certain customer feedback, that would be deeply troubling. Likewise, if Yelp is in any way extorting the business owners to get them to pay for advertising, that would be equally troubling. Any disagreement on the panel here on that?
No.
I have heard that Zagat is the same way now. Does anybody know that if you do some advertising or if you pay Zagat something, that they will give you a better review?
Again, I don't know offhand, but again, it sounds like the judge is saying that's inbounds now.
It might be standard now for these sites to have something like that going on.
But Yelp is saying it's not. And Yelp wrote back to me, and we're going to get back to your calls in just a second. I know some people are waiting. Yelp sent a comment this morning that they said the reason 138 million people can't come to Yelp each month is because they trust the content of our site. Yelp is a branded consumer guidebook meant to show people what the Yelp community thinks. We also use automated recommendation software to help us highlight the most helpful and reliable reviews, which usually come from active members from the Yelp community. And that's exactly the point that has been made this hour that Chris was making, that if you write a review and it's your first or second review, it's probably not going to get prioritized. Yelp sort of builds that into the software. This is Keith calling Connections. Keith, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Evan, how are you doing today?
Good.
The one issue I have with reviews or feedback is, especially with a restaurant, I think the journalist who has the first name is Terrence.
Yes.
You could go to a restaurant and order something and write a bad review, but that's just her opinion. She could tell me how much the price is, and that's, you can't refute that because you can see it. But say the meal was served too slowly, or the lighting was bad, or, you know, it took too long to seat, I had reservations. You know, those are somewhat subjective, and that goes to Yelp. If a restaurant has, you know, 100 reviews, and 3 of them say the restaurant sucks, or if I'm on eBay and I'm going to buy something on somebody that has 10 sales and 2 of them suck versus somebody that has 20,000 sales and has 300 that suck, you know, I look at everything in its totality, not just the one individual. And I think the other problem that I don't think you mentioned was Angie's List. It could happen to small contractors that they upset a customer, or the customer thinks they're getting something that they don't, and then you get really nailed on Angie's List for something that, you know, you did everything up to industry standards, but just because they don't like the results, they can post something negative about you. But I think people should look at reviews in one, realize that they're subjective, and then look at the restaurant or the venue or the person in totality, not just one isolated.
Yeah. Keith, thanks for the call. Karen Miltner? Well, I mean, anything to disagree with there? Now, he's talking about the subjective nature of restaurant reviewing as well. That I guess we're all human beings, though, right? I mean, when we read a review, we accept that it's a human being who might have been in a mood.
That's true. But I think the benefit of having your name attached to a review, as you said before, and seeing that person's name over and over, is a careful reader will understand the orientation of that writer. And we'll understand the orientation of the column that it's put in. You know, Amanda's column is called First Bite for a reason, because it's based on a one-time review. The column, the restaurant column I do, is called Cheap Eat, so we're looking at budget dining. So, you know, to understand the context, I think, is really important.
I'm seeing a lot of comments on social media, which I'm going to try to sift through here, but let me ask the entire panel. We're going to go around the room and ask you. And we've got two food writers, so I'll be very curious to hear what they say. But I'll start with the restaurant owner. Kristen of the Gatehouse, how do you determine who to trust when it comes to food? If you're in another city, if you want to dine out, how do you decide who you trust?
In another city? Well, first of all, in Rochester, I only would trust myself. My husband and I go out all the time. I don't really listen to what anybody else has to say. We form our own opinions, and that works well for us. In other cities, I will admit that I have gone to TripAdvisor. I may have even just recently gone to Yelp in New York, not so much to see what the ratings were, but to see, like Karen said, just more of a directory, what was in the neighborhood. So, like I said, there is a call for these sites. People, there is a call for them. We can use them. We can utilize them to help us find a decent place to eat. And I admit I have done that myself. But ultimately, I trust my own opinion more than I trust anybody else's. Of course, these ladies, their opinions, these are educated opinions. So, of course, I would trust a food writer over a Yelp writer.
Karen Miltner.
I think good old word of mouth is always serves me well. And, you know, whether it's often I get tips from readers who send me suggestions for restaurant write-ups, friends of friends. Sometimes I read it on Facebook, and you know, so, but that's just the start. That's where it starts. It's not necessarily where my opinion ends. So
Amanda Antonoff.
Well, I agree with both Kristen and Karen about, you know, you trust yourself, you trust your friends, you trust the people that you actually know that are in your lives. For me, my husband is a chef, so a lot of times I'll go to him for his opinion and get suggestions of just knowing the ins and outs of the business. And everybody knows everybody, it seems like. But on a outside of Rochester perspective, you know, I go to major publications like the New York Times or Serious Eats or anything that has somebody's name attached to it that I may not know personally, but I trust because I've been following them. Like what Evan was saying before, you've been reading their reviews multiple times.
Yeah.
It's not just...
Yeah, you get used to it. And you get used to a person's preferences
and
style.
Rhythm.
Yeah,
right.
And I find even critics that I don't agree with, I like reading their stuff because if it's a wine, they're not my style, they give it a bad review, I will probably like it. If they love it, conversely, I don't want it. Here's Flower City Pasta joining the conversation on Twitter. And by the way, you can always join the conversation at Evan Dawson on Twitter. Flower City Pasta says, here's a review of our pasta shop by a woman who isn't even a customer, just didn't like the length of her job interview with us. She did not get the job. 1 star, the owners are rude, she starts out. 1 star. Again, not even a customer. That's a good example there. Vince Press says that restaurants that consistently crush it, especially in a market like Rochester, should largely go unharmed by inaccurate web reviews. Kristen, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I think that the people of Rochester have spoken, at least for my particular restaurant, the Gatehouse. It's a popular place. People come to it. I don't think that the inaccurate reviews, which I'm sure are out there, are harming us in any way.
And yet, you still have to make, for example, if you're just joining the conversation, the Gatehouse had to deal with a situation last year with customers who were claiming food poisoning.
Right.
It was inaccurate. It was actually proven to be inaccurate. That's one that you think really could have hurt you if you weren't.
It could have, okay. And that one needed to be addressed.
Jake is saying, I bet at least half of the negative user reviews on Yelp come from regular patrons of an establishment simply having a bad day. And I'm seeing a lot of nodding in here. Before I get back to the phones for another call, Amanda and Karen, you write about food. When you enter an establishment, if you're truly having an awful day, and we all do you ever try to be really self-aware about that or even maybe find a different day to do it? I mean, how do you do that?
Yes. You know, first of all, I think it's a courtesy. I try and go to the restaurant when I'm hungry and rested. And the first thing that, you know, I look for is really what's the story here? Because I think people read reviews not just to make a decision about where they're going to spend their dining dollars, but also because they want to be they may not be able to afford to a restaurant, and they want to have an experience of the restaurant by proxy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I try and serve those readers as well. But you definitely want to be in the proper state of mind when you're going.
Amanda?
Well, for me personally, anytime I'm going out to a restaurant, I seem to be in a better mood than before I walked in. But that's just because I love to eat out and I love to eat. But other than that, you know, I think it just... You have to really put the whole thing into perspective. And I think that's what is missing from these online reviewing platforms is that you, A, don't know who the person is who's talking about it. B, you have no idea what the circumstances were surrounding their experience. And, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm too anti the social platforms, because I think it is cathartic in a way. And I read somewhere that the ability to go home after you've eaten somewhere, which is a big thing, obviously, people, it's part of the whole experience. It makes them feel better. It gets things off their chest. It, you know, I don't know. It's part of what they consider going out. You don't just go and eat at a restaurant. You go and eat, and then you talk about it. You talk about it either online or to your friends. So you can't, I'm not going to say that that's not the right thing to do, because it's the freedom of...
Sure. I think it is. It's the freedom and the democratization of review, but I think we have identified as a panel this hour ways that it can be done better.
Right.
Number one, make sure, hopefully Yelp is telling the truth. But if Yelp is telling the truth, by the way, that means a lot of restaurants are lying about the fact that they say advertisers or Yelp staff is saying, advertise with us and we'll prioritize good reviews. Hopefully that's not true. But also, let's get rid of anonymity if we can. Here's the Owl House on Twitter. That's a Rochester restaurant. And they say, we very much appreciate detailed and thoughtful reviews, good or bad. It gives us the opportunity to improve. But here's Beth on Twitter saying, quick search on Yelp for wood-fired pizza and Olive Garden was at the top, and it is sponsored. Disappointing, and I'm not going to use it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The sponsors.
So, you know, knowing what's sponsored and what's out there, I think that's always helpful. Let's get one more quick phone call. This is Jim in Victor. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, how you doing? I don't have a restaurant business, but I do have a transportation business. And I've had problems with TripAdvisor, where I've had some fraudulent reviews on there. And I think it's probably possibly coming from competitors, because I've had something on there where it was a customer that we knew we didn't even drive.
even with the tag name on there. We checked it all out. It took quite a while to get this bad review off. And the thing is, TripAdvisor, you can't call them, you can't get a hold of them, you can email them, you can't reach anybody really. And it took like maybe 2 or 3 months. So I basically dropped out of them. I don't want any of the online reviews anymore. I actually have good reviews. Now, they're all positive. They're real reviews on my webpage. And people seem to judge by that. They look and they see some familiar name, or they're local, or they're part of some establishment. And they base it off that without even going on these other ones. And this other one here, this Yelp, I wouldn't be with them. I wouldn't sign up with them either. Because like she said, if you advertise on there, you're going to be put in the first place, like they said, mentioned about the Olive Garden there. And they're going to favor that business that's spending extra money. TripAdvisor is a little different. They're kind of an independent, kind of an organization, so they don't do advertising. But the one that has the advertising in the review, I would stay way away from those because I've had problems with those before in the past.
Jim, great stuff. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. It's a good place to sort of cap our conversation. And I want to just tell you that I'm just one guy. I'm not even on Yelp. But I think what you're doing at the Gatehouse is really nice, Kristen.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I want to add that I thought Kristen handled the situation very, very well last year.
The allegations of food poisoning that turned out not to be true.
Yes, I really do. So I give them a lot of credit.
They not only handled it well, they concluded it with a poem on social media. A poem, because you're in the neighborhood of the arts, as you said. Why not conclude it with a poem to let your customers know that if you've heard these bad rumors, they're not true. Clever. Well done.
Thank you.
And thanks for your perspective on the democratization of reviews. Kristen, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You can find her at Gatehouse in Espada. Karen Miltner and Amanda Antonor, my review of your work is you got invited for a reason. I think Rochester is so fortunate to have really smart, educated, thoughtful food reviewers, writers. Karen has great recipes, and I hope you never leave. That's all I'm just going to say. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Evan.
Thank you.
Karen Miltner and Amanda Antonor, you can find their work in the Democrat and Chronicle. I am Evan Dawson. Mike Black is the engineer today. Thank you for joining us, and this has been member-supported public radio.